Good evening. Welcome to our Sunday evening worship service here at Beach Hill. So good to see you all here this afternoon for this time of worship we have set aside. If you are visiting with us, we're showing that you are honored guests. Hope to see you each and every opportunity that you might have. Also, proud for those who are able to worship with us via Zoom tonight. We'll be back here this Wednesday at 7 o'clock for midweek Bible study, and on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible class and 10:15 for our worship service. We have a few announcements to go over tonight before we begin. Lads Leaders is right around the corner for us. Be praying for that. I know we're all getting excited for that and getting ready for it. But if you do want to make changes to your registration, or if you do want to go, Miss Melissa did say there are some rooms left. So please let her know as soon as possible, and she'll help you out whenever you need in that regard. We have a few updates to share on the sick and those who are shut in. Continue to pray for Mr. Don Ward as he's receiving treatments, radiation treatments for the near future, that you'll pray for him and it all goes as smoothly as it can. I also continue to pray for Tracy Finley and her daughter Sarah as they prepare for their liver transplant surgery next month. We continue to pray for Miss Vicki Perkins, who's a relative of Renee Fortner. She is on hospice at this time with breast cancer. And also we pray for Miss Tracy Simmons. She is Shauna Jones' sister-in-law, and she has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So pray for her, and her doctor is administering to her. We have an update for Mr. Don Moody. He did fall this morning. He is now in Tupelo Hospital for an infection in his back. So please pray for him, be able to overcome that as soon as possible. Also, we're proud to announce that Julie Kate Walker, who is the great-granddaughter of Ms. Shirley Estes, did have good test results from her test the past 2 weeks, but continue to pray that the medicine they're giving her is working for her, and they can move on from that situation with just that, nothing else needed. That's all I have in regards to announcements. Order of worship tonight will be as follows. Our opening prayer by Brother Alan Grady. Our closing prayer by Brother Michael Dees. Appropriate time, King will have a lesson of the hour. And please grab your song books, look along with us on the board as Dustin leads us in singing.
We're 796. We'll sing all three verses, number 7, 9, 6.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word. Dear Father, in him message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Follow Jesus every day.
Next song will be Hilltops of Glory. It's not in this songbook, but it is on the video board.
Onward rejoicing, I tread life's way. Higher I'm climbing each passing day. Hilltops of glory now rise in view. Where all shall be made new. Hilltops of glory. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain, I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land. Way down in Egypt, mid burning sand, Moses had started for Canaan's land. Never turn backward, always ascend. On to the journey's end. Hilltops of glory
I now can see.
Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain, I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land. Footsteps of Jesus before us lead. We tread life's journey, his warnings heed. Evil allurements cannot prevail. I'm on the upward trail. Hilltops of glory
I now can see.
Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain, I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land.
Let's pray. Kind and loving, merciful Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the beautiful day you've allowed us to enjoy, for the freedom that we've had to come here and worship you. We're so thankful for all the many people that's been able to attend here today, for the health that you've given them. As Winston has mentioned, there are many, many on our sick list that need our prayers for tests, for recovery, for treatments that are being taken. We ask you to be with them. And we're so thankful as we look in our audience today and we see people that's back with us. Miss Louise Cheatwood's back with us from COVID. We're indeed thankful for this right here. And there are others that have recovered. We continue to pray for all those that need our prayer. Dear God, bless our church here. Bless what we try to teach, what we try to do, spread your word. We want to pray for missionaries that we support. They give up the freedoms, the luxuries of life that we enjoy and sometimes take for granted every single day. Be with them and be with their work. We know that some are in dangerous locations. We also pray for our country. We know that it's tough living here as Christians in an unchristian world. We also know that many major decisions are going to have to be made. We hope not, but it looks like that they are in the upcoming future. And we ask that wisdom will be used. We ask that they will seek your guidance in the decisions that will be made. Most of all, we're thankful for Jesus and what he means to us. And we pray that we will live our lives as heaven can be our home one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So before the lesson this evening, we're number 531. We'll sing the first, second, and last verses, number 531.
I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sun.
In your song books, number 441, number 441.
Let us open our Bibles tonight to Paul's letter to the Philippians and the second chapter. In some of the songs that we sang tonight, there was a strong emphasis upon the truth that we should have regard for the example of Christ and seek to follow that example and conform our lives to Him. And this is one of the truths or topics that links this morning's message with that of tonight. So that this morning we spoke about walking as He walked, and tonight we will see a passage that calls our attention to the example of Christ. Another truth that links the two messages together is that of the work of God through Christ for our redemption. So we spoke about John's teaching in this morning about how Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and He is the righteous one that went to the cross, not deservedly, but He was there for our benefit, for our salvation. And we gave emphasis this morning to the subject of obedience to Christ, keeping His commandments and His words, and obedience to Christ will also be a part of our study this evening. In fact, it may be thought of as the primary emphasis. When we obey Christ, our lives go rightly, our lives are blessed, our lives are in tune with God's will for us, and so things are good as they ought to be good in God's sight for us. When we fail to obey Christ, then there will be problems that will develop and consequences. We may learn from those and make adjustments and come back to the right way, and that's learning a good lesson, but it's better to listen to the lesson of obedience and to keep the way of obedience. And so we'll speak tonight about obedience, not only as it applies to us as individual Christians, but as the church. Now, when we think about obedience, we think about the power and authority of Christ. And here we run into a problem that arises sometimes when people misunderstand power as it comes from God through Jesus, his son. And Jesus encountered this in his ministry with his own disciples. They had some rather worldly thoughts about power and authority. And even at the Last Supper, they were still contending among themselves about who was most important, who's number one among the disciples of Jesus. And Jesus reminded them on that occasion that I am in the midst of you as he who serves. And the lesson of that, of course, being with regard to his example and their need to conform to what he is teaching them out of his power and authority, about their need to submit, to obey, and to be servants as he was a servant to God. The weakness of many people, of course, and it may include us at times, the weakness of many is that they are captivated by power. Some people indeed lust for power. If they have it, they're carried away with its possession and use, and they are corrupted by it even further. It's not so much that power corrupts them. They already had some corrupt thinking about power, and the possession of power brings about more corruption in their thought and their lives. And they become harmful, of course, to other people. Some, thinking these worldly thoughts about power, envy those who have power. And so they look at those people and they desire to be in that position, to have that kind of power. And if only for a day, to accomplish what they would like to see accomplished. And then there are those who are infatuated with power. They view power as glamorous, attractive, intoxicating, even when it is sometimes held and used by those who are cruel and brutal and thoroughly evil. It is a historic fact that such a man as Stalin, who was responsible in his use of power for the deaths of tens of millions of people in his own country, was revered almost as a god by many people in that country. And he is only one example of many that could be mentioned that illustrate how people can have wrong ideas entirely about power. No person ever lived who had or has more power than Jesus of Nazareth. When you read the gospel books and you see how he with simplicity, complete ease, works some of the wonders that he does, in the healing of the sick, casting out of demons, raising the dead, in the control over nature, and many other wonders he performed. How it was almost something that he could just do naturally without any strain, and it was no strain for him. You get the feeling that there is so much power here under control. And he is using it exactly in measure as he wanted to. No one else has ever had that kind of power as Jesus had. And yet he was in the midst of his disciples as he who serves. When he was in the garden and Peter thought it appropriate then to draw the sword and try to defend his master from a mob that came to take Jesus, a mob that came with swords and clubs, as if they were coming to take a criminal out of the garden, Peter would defend his master. Jesus told him to put the sword back into the sheath. Could I not request that the Father send me help, and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels? If they were fully manned, that would be about 70-something thousand angels. And Jesus said more than 12 legions. Father would send whatever he requested. Such was the power and authority of Jesus. If you want to know what one angel can accomplish, read some of the stories, some of the episodes in the Old Testament, what one angel could do. And think about 70-something thousand of them in the garden. And that for a mob of men with swords and clubs to defend. The power of Christ, the authority of Christ, is beyond anything that we can fully comprehend. And yet, how did he use that power? He came to do the Father's will. There are scriptures to be fulfilled, he said. And so he would go to the cross for our redemption. On his way to the cross, he would allow himself to suffer humiliation, to be beaten by men and treated by those men with words and deeds that were designed to humiliate him. Power and authority used to do God's will, to deal with the problem of sin for our salvation. So in Philippians chapter 2, at the beginning of this chapter, Paul is speaking about the church. And he's speaking about some good things that we know in the church. If there is therefore any exhortation in Christ, if any consolation of love, any fellowship and of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions. But we've all known these blessings in the church, the life, the fellowship, the work, the worship, the communion with one another in the church. We've been blessed by these blessings that we have in Christ in the church. Well, then Paul says, that being the case, then make full my joy. He's the apostle, along with his co-workers who established that congregation. What will make him happy? Well, that you be of the same mind, that you be of one accord, one mind, you have the same love. In other words, they be thoroughly united in soul and spirit, as he said back in verse 27 of chapter 1. And then he adds, doing nothing through faction. Faction here is selfish ambition that leads to rivalry and competition, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, that's conceit and arrogance, the desire for prominence, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself, not looking each of you to his own things, that is to advance his own interests, but to the things of others. And then he gives us the example I mentioned. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The words that Paul spoke here and that were written by whoever took his words down in writing, because that was Paul's style of writing letters. Someone else wrote down his words as he spoke them, and then he signed off with the closing words in his own handwriting. But what Paul said here, and thus is written here, is literally this. Think in this way. In your thought all the time, think this way. And what is that way? It's the way that's illustrated or demonstrated in the life of Christ. And he takes his life from eternity into the world, down to the bottommost experiences, all the way down to the cross, and then back to eternity and back to heaven. So here is Christ in eternity and divine glory. And what does he do? He empties himself. And he comes into the world as a man. As a man, he's a servant. I'm in the midst of you as he who serves. Came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And in that service, to give himself, being obedient, even to death, the death of the cross. Wherefore, God highly exalted him and gave to him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, whether in heaven or on earth or under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's obedience. Here is the one we obey by the will of God, his Son. Not just because he's at the right hand of God in heaven now, but because of what he did. He left heaven. The divine glory that was his in heaven, it came all the way down voluntarily to human experience, to servitude in human experience, servitude to God's will, voluntarily, and all the way down to the cross. And now God has exalted him, and this is the message from God. Here is the one you are to obey. Every knee bowing, every tongue confessing that he is Lord. Now, Paul says, have this mind in you. What is he talking about? We're not going to follow that exactly and end up at the right hand of God in such authority and power. Now, what he's talking about is the way of Christ here. It's a way of humble submission to God's will, to fulfill one's place in God's purpose for our lives. And he's talking about the church. When he says, have this mind in you, he uses the plural here, not the singular. In other words, have this way of thinking among yourselves. He's talking about the church. Our experience of the church is as a congregation. So have this way of thinking about yourselves or among yourselves as a congregation. Think this way as the church. Here then is the truth demonstrated in Christ that is going to make possible for us to do what he said in verses 1-4. To be of one mind, to have the same way of thinking, to be in harmony of one accord and have the same love. One for another. We watch out for each other. We put the other person first. We're not thinking about our own interests. We care nothing for advancing ourselves. Prominence is not something that holds us as if in a spell that we've just got to have prominence and that kind of worldly power. None of that's important to us. What's important to us is what was important to Christ, to accomplish God's will for the good of his people. The way of Jesus Christ, then, from divine glory all the way down to the cross, then upward to supreme exaltation, should affect us as his people in many ways. Let me mention just a few. When we contemplate that and think about what Paul's talking about here, it should cause us, if need be, it should cause us to repent and to renounce all selfishness and self-centeredness in our relations one with another. To repent and to renounce all conceit and arrogance, all rivalry and jealousy and selfish ambition, all abusiveness and all ill will toward others. These are all sins. They have no place among God's people. An example of Christ clearly shows us that. Another effect that his example should have upon us is that it should prompt us to seek ways to serve. That should be our interest as members of the body of Christ, the church. What can I do? How can I serve? However lowly it may be, what ways are open to me? What are my opportunities? I just want to serve. And then a third thing that the way of Christ shows us by his example is that we must learn how to accept sufferings that are experienced in doing God's will, because they certainly came to him in the accomplishment of God's will, and not just at the cross, but all along the way. And they will come to us too in seeking to do God's will. Not everyone will appreciate a life of service that's obedient to God's will for his people. Not everybody will understand that. Not even all Christians will have spiritual insight to true power and authority. But they will understand these things in a worldly way until they are changed by the influence of the gospel. And then a fourth thing that we learn from this example of Christ is that we are led as God intends for us to be led in looking at Jesus as Lord in Christ, to honor him with our complete obedience. And in so doing, to do so to the glory of God the Father. I wanted to give some emphasis today to this matter of obedience to Christ. I don't know that as much emphasis has been placed upon that as there is need for it. We give a lot of emphasis to many other things. I think perhaps one reason for the lack of emphasis on obedience is that we're very quick to point out that we're not talking about self-righteousness. We're certainly not talking about sinless perfection. And we're all thankful for God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. But having said all that and acknowledged all of those truths and how important they are to our lives, this truth is still there. Christ is to be honored with our obedience. And God has so presented the honor of Christ in this passage that we should want to obey him. That ought to be our conscious purpose and thought every day. I want to live a life that is obedient to Jesus, who is Lord in Christ at the right hand of God. In this city of Philippi, Paul and Silas, suffering in the service of God, in prison unjustly, had the opportunity to teach the gospel to a jailer and his family. And then later that night, they were all seated at the table in the jailer's house, enjoying a meal, and they were very happy. It's possible that in times past they had shown hospitality to others and had happiness at a meal, but that's not the reason for their joy. Luke said they were rejoicing because they had believed in God. Paul and Silas had delivered to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might believe in Christ. In believing in Christ, they've believed in God. And that very night, hearing the gospel, they wasted no time in responding to it in faith. Luke says that very hour, immediately, they were baptized. And then that family rejoiced and shared a meal together. Great joy would be ours too if tonight you have selected this occasion to be baptized into Christ by your faith in him. Let us stand and sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thy heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight?
Again, we'd like to thank you for being here with us, especially those of you that are visiting. Please come back and be with us at any and every opportunity that you have. We'll meet again here on Wednesday night at 7, for our midweek Bible service. If there is not one or more present who has not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, it's been prepared across the hall to my right. You may be dismissed this time and someone will be there to assist you. Thank you, King, for both the lesson this morning and this evening. Our closing song tonight will be number 374. We'll sing the first verse of number 374, followed by our closing prayer.
Swiftly we're turning, life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands.
sing praises and learn more about the Lord. And we pray that the things that's been said be in accordance to thy will, and we'll be able to take these things and live them out in everyday walks. Others may see the brightness of your life in us. We pray that peace will continue in our world, and pray for leaders, for things that are too much. We pray for the ones that are sick, and may continue to bless them in strict ways of recovery. Pray that you will be with us through this night, and all three people lost them. When time is over, let's give us a home in heaven. Thank you.